You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
We've got Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away Worldview Ministry to tackle our weekly biblical worldview question of the week. What's happening?
Well, not much. How about with you? The kids out of school, so it's crazy, isn't it?
Kids are out of school. They were very excited on Friday, and I know you've got your grands as well. They're all coming up on the end of their years out there, and so, yeah, it's just a season of change right now.
Yes, it is. Busyness. Insanity.
Well, I tell you, you know what's insanity, too. Some of the things that we see in the world talks about our question of the week right here. Yeah. Is there a prayer that I need in order to be saved? That's often a question that we have got to ask ourselves because we hear it so often in church. Everybody, you know, every head bowed, every eye closed, that becomes the saying. And then we're led through that, what is called the sinner's prayer. So do we need to say a prayer in order to be saved?
Well, you know, that's such an apropos question because it's loaded. We'll get into a little bit about that. But I grew up as an agnostic. And I think what frustrated me the most about the Christians that I met along the way was that none of them, and I mean none, could answer fundamental questions about your faith. It's kind of what you and Eric were talking about earlier. I would ask, how do you know that Jesus died for the sins of the world? Tell me why Christianity isn't a hoax religion. And the interesting thing, there were no answers coming from them on just the foundations of the Christian faith. They were, however, quick to tell me I was going to hell because I didn't believe in Jesus. And I remember a well-intended Christian friend of mine who said she got up the nerve to urge me to repeat a prayer with her to ensure my future home in heaven. And I'll never forget it. And needless to say, I declined and told her I was a good person. And I doubted very much that repeating words would help my position with God, who may or may not exist. And, you know, there are many skeptics like me who struggle to understand who God is and what he expects out of us. And their questions are real. And they require honest answers. You know, the idea, is God knowable? Is he approachable? Could he take away my fear of death or my guilt over bad choices I've made? Could he love me? Should he love me? Why should he love me? And these are the questions that Christians seriously need to consider. And I'm thinking of 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason of hope that is in you, and do it with gentleness and respect. And this means that Christians need to equip themselves to disciple. We're called to go into the world to disciple. And if we can't answer foundational questions, that's why so many skeptics are so frustrated. Because then they think, well, you're just a religious person who, you know, goes to church, whatever. Mm-hmm. And sadly enough, I think they might be true in what they're saying with so many.
Well, I certainly think that our example, yes, and our discourse openly in public actually kind of leads to that, right? It's we're the ones setting that example. So when I think about what Jesus did, though, for us, then it seems like his greatest desire is to have a relationship with us, not just to have a religion to follow. It's about relationship, isn't it?
Yes, and what a refreshing approach this would be for Christians to say, not that you're going to hell, which you are without Christ, but maybe not to start with that. This idea of Jesus is our Savior. You know, he came to live on earth as a man without sin, which makes him God. And for some reason, I have no reason why, for some reason, even though he knew how selfish and prideful we are, he created us to have a personal relationship with him. That was, is, and will be forever his goal, this beautiful personal relationship with those whom he created. But the cool thing is, Steve, with this, he made us in his image, which means he has given us the capacity to know and to love him. And you know what keeps us from that? Our sin keeps that from happening. And this is the thing. God so wants that relationship with us that Jesus willingly chose to be obedient to his Father and to sacrifice himself to death on a cross. Why? To pay the price for our sins, allowing us to live in harmony with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For now, while we're still on this earth, and forever. And you know what? That kind of love is way too wonderful, way too deep to grasp. And the question comes then, what can we do to thank him? And this is the stumbling block for so many of them. He says, I don't want you to do anything. The only thing he wants is our hearts to believe and to follow him. He makes it so simple.
But it's us who make things so complex. Exactly. We don't believe like it could be that easy, right? So how do we actually make that happen then?
Yeah, and you know, the Bible makes it very clear that salvation comes by faith in Jesus Christ and not from doing good things. Including repeating a prayer without clearly understanding what it means.
Yeah.
You know, that's the key to the whole thing. I mean, we can't undo our past, but God forgives us and chooses not to remember our sins forever. So this is all part of it. Hebrews 10:17-18, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. And then Isaiah 43:25, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. So the thing is, we're not saved from the penalty of our sins by anything else but believing that his son died for our sins. You know, the Greek word for sin is pistio, which means reliance upon, strong conviction of, a total trust. It's not just a mental assent, you know, oh, that's interesting or that's cool. No, this idea of total reliance, total trust. And when that happens, our lives change. And it's not quick, it's over time. But they change from being self-focused to God-focused. And we get back to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, there's this word, believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Well, going back to that concept about making things more complicated than God has really intended, right? That simplicity, we still struggle with wanting to work for our right standing with God. We still have this notion that there must be an exchange, that I have to give something in order to receive Christ. Why do we struggle with that, to just get our right standing with God?
Well, that's a great question. Well, I think it's the way we live in this world. And within this world, it demands us to work hard for everything, just about. Work hard to earn wages, you know. We study hard to make good grades so we can go to college or get a good job. Relationships that were first easy soon become complicated and difficult. Because building healthy friendships takes effort and time together. And there again, we work. And then we're introduced to Jesus, God himself, who made becoming his child a choice of trusting and believing in him, not work or performance. And this is the thing that you were touching on earlier, Steve. This works, this religion thing that so many false religions and cults, actually all of them, are dependent upon working for grace, working to build yourself up in the hierarchy of whatever religion you're choosing outside of Christianity. Christianity is the only religion that believes in grace. You know, is there any other religion? There is no assurance that you are loved by whatever God you worship, nor that there is a future. So we see the beauty of God's desire to call us in, not by works, but by grace. And we see this right here in Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of your own doing. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And, you know, if we were on works, we would wonder if it was ever enough. And that's the thing with people in cults and false religions. Ask them if they're assured that when you die, you will go to heaven to be with God. And if they're honest with you, they'll say, I have no assurance, because there is no assurance. There's always a little bit more that we could do if it's a work system. And then we see in John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And then here in Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There it is. It's a choice. It's a choice to believe. And if it's anything more than choice, then it's works. God graces us with that. He gives that to us. He created us for that reason. But, you know, the world is such a mess and confuses us and confounds us. But this is exactly what the gospel is. It's a gift.
It is a gift. But we have this tendency, of course, because we know our sinful nature, right? Think of this. Go back to when we're in elementary school and we do something wrong and we just can't believe that somebody would accept an apology from us, right? We still think that like there's some reparation that we have to go through. But grace means that it's God's gift to us with no strings attached, and we still stumble with that and we still struggle with that. So talk to the word grace a little bit. What does grace refer to?
And I think the church, the Christian churches need to reevaluate this whole thing themselves. The word grace refers to God's blessings as completely undeserved. And it negates any idea of us working through performance to be with God. And this is where we get into it. You know, no religious rite, including baptism, can get us into a righteous standing with God. And this might be a bell going off with some of you. You know, we become righteous by faith alone in Jesus for our salvation. Is baptism important? Yes, it's an outward sign of an inward declaration that we've made that we are going to follow Jesus. It's our way of telling the church world and those outside the church that we are now followers of Christ. And it signifies, you know, a reminder for us to be praying for one another. But we don't get baptized to become a Christian. Should we? The Bible says we should make an outward sign of an inward commitment. But it is not our salvation. And I think that was proved on the cross, was it not, with the thief who believed that Jesus was the Son of God, was That's sinless. Right. And Jesus said, I'll see you in, you know, heaven. I'll see you with me. So let's not get confused, because so often in some Christian religions, they'll add any and everything to it, including repeating exactly the words of a prayer, which is hopefully we can get now, is absolutely outside the walls of what God intended when he blessed us with grace, undeserved. Paul said that God's righteousness is a gift, and he says this in Romans 3:21-23. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all who believe, there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Here it is. We have all sinned. And what's the answer? Wow. You know, this idea, for all those who believe.
Yeah.
And then in Titus 2:14, what then does God expect from us? Okay. So now we believe. Now what? He wants us to love him by obeying his word in the Bible and communicating him in an everyday language in prayer. It's not necessarily repeating prayers that somebody else has written. You know, we pray ourselves in our own language to God. Thank him for who he is.
Yeah.
Ask him to pray for you and it remind, you know, I always remind God, just wake me up at night so I can pray for people. You know, this kind of thing, just a friendship. He wants us to love others as we love ourselves and to be eager to do that which is good. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes in us as believers, this ability for us to love is ridiculous and to forgive things that we never thought we could do. We can do because God, through the Holy Spirit, lives in us. And I think when we get into the rule thing, Steve, it negates that. It negates the beauty of the grace when we try to take credit for somebody else even coming to faith.
Yeah.
You know, I led so-and-so to faith. I hear this, and it is like fingers on a blackboard. You didn't do anything. That was the Holy Spirit in you. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, it's just we just get so prideful with this. But I think it's really cool. Micah 6:6-8. And right here, it kind of gives a picture of what it means for those who that have been saved by grace. You know, what does the Lord require? With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? Calves a year old? Would the Lord be pleased with 1,000 of rams, 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, or the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God.
Yeah.
What a beautiful picture. It is just God calling us to him and letting us know we're not alone. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we're not alone, and he is not requiring those things of us. We must receive the gift of Christ through God's grace. But we complicate things. We overcomplicate all of those things, Nancy. This is an important question that we have to address, and I do want to encourage people to turn to anchorsaway.org on the web. You can find all of your worldview training and leadership training there on the site. You'll find the archive of past questions of the week as well. And I want to encourage you, look at the Bible study that you're going to find there, because you've got the shop and everything that's set up there at anchorsaway.org. But I want to just encourage you, smoke, mirrors, and God. You want to take a look at this Bible study. If you're doing a summer study, or if your life group maybe perhaps is looking for something over the summer, or maybe you've taken a break and you want to do some personal study, I want to encourage you to check out Unanswered, Smoke, Mirrors, and God. It is an outstanding study that you can walk through even by yourself. Great resources, excellent curriculum that's in there. And so we want to share that with you as well. Nancy, thank you so much for this week.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's always wonderful to be with you. And just thanks for the good work. Keep it going.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you so much, Nancy.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.